Y'all, I thought I would teach on supplication tonight because in prayer, I am much of a supplicator. And do you know, I've never been able to teach effectively on it. I would do it, but I had no vocabulary to explain what was happening in me that I could supplicate. And some months ago, but it was this year, I went to minister at a church in Missouri, and one of the things the Lord had me minister on was supplication. And it was like suddenly he took the veil off and gave me the vocabulary. And I think one, so I will do that next Wednesday. But I think one reason he did it is because the prayer life of his people needs to deepen. We need a deeper prayer life. And y'all, one of the things that the word supplication means is to ask deeply. And so I pray that when we get through next Wednesday, we'll all have a better understanding of supplication, and we will receive a fresh and more powerful anointing to supplicate. But I wanted to just get our feet on the ground this evening and kind of identify the season we're in. And I'm going to talk more than I had planned, but it's like there are some things I need to say and some scripture I need to bring forth that after I return to the U.S., you are going to continue praying out. And the Lord is going to continue to minister to you through these scriptures. And so I want to say this, that God would not have his people be deaf, dumb, and blind of any season that we're in or how we handle that season in prayer. So I want to make this statement. Bullets are flying in some parts of the world, but thank God not here in Kenya. We thank God for that. But church, the body of Christ is in a war season. The 2020 decade is a decade of war. We are in a war season. And I think as I have lived in America, I think many have no clue that that's going on. And we want to be wise as serpents and know the season we're in and believe that we will be an instrument of prayer and God will be able to use us. Now, we think of a war season, you call out the military, you declare a war, you're looking for guns, you're looking for ammunition, you want bombs and you want airplanes, and that is going on in certain places in the world. But we are in a decade of spiritual war like I've never seen in my life. Even the very foundations of America are being shaken. I'm telling you, I'm seeing and observing. I've really been watching since I've returned to America for the length of time that I have. I've really been watching. I never dreamed to see and hear and observe the actions that are not from the heavenly realm, but are from the demonic realm that have spread across that nation. And it actually is affecting the whole world. Let me say it's a season of war. It is also a decade and a season of realignment. And those are very important prayers to make. Because you don't want to be thinking one thing and walking as you've been walking, when actually very momentous things are happening in the earth, and you're not aware of it, and you're not praying up to the mark that is required in that season of war. And do you know, the victories are not won without God's people praying. And so we have an assignment of prayer, to pray much in the Spirit, to pray the scriptures that God highlights to us. I used to sit and read the Bible in the morning. Now I walk and read and pray as I read. A scripture arrests me in the Bible. It captures my attention. I don't go any further. I just rest on that scripture and begin to let the Holy Spirit use me in prayer. So maybe you were used to praying, reading the Bible maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour. Now it can take me an hour and a half. Because what happens? I light on a scripture that the Holy Spirit opens up to me, and I just pray out of that scripture. I'm praying less formal prayers than I used to pray, and they are more scripture-based. I still pray out of my heart. Don't misunderstand me. But it's like God is using my daily Bible reading as the basis for much of my prayer. And do you know, I'm enjoying it so much. And sometimes I read and read, and no particular scripture stands out to me, and it's like I'm a bit disappointed when that doesn't happen. And I wonder, well, did I miss it? Was I not sensitive to something the Holy Spirit wanted to pray? And so I have found my praying enlarged by doing that. My praying is more alive by doing that. It's not the only way I pray, but when I went to America, it just began to happen. I began walking with my Bible. I would read, the Holy Spirit would arrest me, and prayers would come out of that scripture. And it has made every day a quest for the prayers that the Lord would have me utter. Am I saying it in a way that is clear? And so I want to release that. It's kind of like an anointing that I didn't have before prevalently. And now it is much more prevalent. So this is a decade of war. It is a decade of realignment. I want to say that to every one of you. Certainly, I've watched the Lord realign my life. Church, I had 5 very dramatic dreams that the Lord was realigning my life. And it was totally unexpected. I certainly thought all the rest of the days of my life would be lived here in Kenya. I'm just thankful the Lord's going to let me go back and forth and back and forth, so you will be seeing me. But I think for this, one of the reasons, I don't know all the reasons, he's shown a couple to me. One of the reasons is I've quit having pneumonia. You remember how frequently I would have a chest infection. It would go into pneumonia, and that has stopped. So I'm stronger physically, and I'm very grateful for that. So I submitted all 5 dreams to Dr. Jerry Savelle, all 5 of them. He would say, well, what did the Lord tell you? And I would tell him the extent of the interpretation that I had. When the 5th dream was over, it was a very dramatic dream. And I told it to Dr. Zavell. He said, Carla, the Lord is extending your life. So he's extending my life through this realignment. And so I really struggled. Oh, this was painful on the level of Pastor Wade going home to be with the Lord. Very painful. I never dreamed it would happen. But, you know, if your leader goes off and goes to heaven early because your leader's in disobedience to God, the purposes that could have been fulfilled if your leader had been obedient. So I'm saying that to say this is a decade of realignment. Don't expect things to just go on. We're in a war season. Do you know what the army of God does? We seek God in how to pray for victory in a war season. Victory is won in the Spirit through the prayers, the utterances, the declarations, the supplications, and intercessions of the people of God. And so, Pastor Davies, I just want to say, many prayer assignments are being released. We can even call them prayer burdens that might alight upon you concerning the war season that we are in. Then, to add to that, we pray that as we move through this war season, 2024, we're in 2024 now. COVID broke out in 2020. See it? The war season started in 2020. We've gone through 2021, 2022, 2023. We're in 2024. We're still in that war season. It will continue. And we need to pray. Lord, teach us to pray in a war season. Teach us to pray as you would have us as warriors. We're the army of God. Give us the utterance to pray the prayers that we should be praying in a war season. I want to tell you one that I've been praying fervently. I pray twice a day the Lord's Prayer. My Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Say it with me, church. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. And do you know, I heard a minister of God say just shortly before I left to come to Kenya, I didn't know the man. I still don't know his name. But I had gone on my iPad and gone into a program or a podcast that looked interesting. And out of his mouth came, we're in the season when the Father is answering the Lord's Prayer. I said, wow, because I've really been impressed to pray the Lord's Prayer. Not surface, but in supplication. Not surface, but with deep desire for that prayer to be answered. And when that man of God, I didn't know him, but when he said that, I said, oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for that. And so we're in a season of realignment. And in this, We want to obey the will of God. We're praying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Not Carla's will, not Pastor Davy's will, but may the will of God be done. And so we pray that, not as we've prayed it in the past. I'm telling you, there's much deeper anointing that is on that prayer than I've ever known it to carry. And I carry that prayer in my heart. And I've studied that prayer. And oh, what a mighty prayer it is. One thing that really stands out to me, and sometimes I stay on this phrase and pray out of it, is deliver us from evil. There are things coming upon the earth, church, that are so ungodly, so unchristian. I'm not getting any amens. They are not right in the sight of God. I don't care who says it's right. I don't care who puts their stamp of approval on it. I don't care what is popular. I don't care what men say. What God says is true is true. He is eternal truth. Men cannot change eternal truth. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the Word of God endures forever. Somebody say amen. And so, deliver us from evil. Refuse to bow down to evil. Refuse to agree with evil. Pastor Davies, we're going to have to pray that out and keep the people covered in the courage to stand for the truth of the Word of God. In your workplace, you may have to stand for the truth in your family and with your friends, because men have taken evil and called it good, and they call good evil. And so it's all upside down. You're not going to find much truth in the world, but truth is found in God. Never, 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 would you say that with me? Never, never, never depart from the Word of God. Never depart from the Word of God. I don't care which president says whatever he says, and it does not agree with the Word of God. We are not going to agree with that. We are on this earth as the body of Christ to represent the truth and to tell the truth and to speak the truth. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it's very, very important in a time of war that you pray for the truth to prevail. You pray for the truth to pierce the darkness. You pray for the truth to be made manifest in the nation of Kenya and in the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. What does the Bible say about the devil? The devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. The Bible also says there is no truth in him. Now, church, that's a big statement. No truth means the devil can't even tell the truth because he has no truth in him. So the church has a big assignment, and much of the church is failing to stand for the truth. In fact, I have even seen a number of times in so-called churches in America, they would have half-dressed people in their congregation to minister. Oh, yes. And very vulgar dancing in the aisles of the church. And I've seen them dance scarcely with a stitch of clothing on, dance all the way up to the pulpit and stand in the pulpit. I'm telling you, wicked things. We're in a season of war. What are we warring for? Well, one of the primary things we're warring for is for the truth to be known and to be manifested. What does the Bible say about the end times? If it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I pray, I will never be deceived. I choose to believe the truth of the Word of God. I make this commitment. I will not depart from the Word of God in the name of Jesus all the days of my life. I will walk in the truth. I will tell the truth. I will seek the truth from your holy word. In Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, we're going to have to cling to truth. We know where it is found, and we make that determination. We will not compromise the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. And so we're in a time of war, and we're warring for the truth. It is a decade of realignment. And do you know, in a time of realignment, I mean, I'm a picture standing before you of the Lord realigning my life. I have gone through it. I'm not telling you it's easy, but we are all in a season of realignment, and we have to follow the Lord. So if we want success in our day of fulfilling the will of God, we have to let the Lord speak to us about realignment. It could be realignment at your job. You may not be divinely positioned at your workplace. Or it could be realignment in some of your relationships. All of us have to be sensitive. What we draw near to or what we withdraw from. Hallelujah. And we don't compromise because we're committed to walking in the truth. And to have success in fulfilling the will of God, we have to be available for realignment. And I want to tell you, when I left and began, I had one dream before I left for Kenya. Pastor Davies knows it very well, and I may share that with you this coming Sunday. But as the other dreams came, church, I never thought I would say this. I was very unwilling. Because it was shutting the door to my returning to Kenya to live. And they were all vivid, dramatic dreams. There was no question where they came from. They came from the Father. And I was confused. I was unhappy. I was unwilling. Is it okay if I confess my sins? Thank you for forgiving me. Pastor Davies just said, we forgive you. I was unhappy with the Lord. Definitely, I was striving in my heart. I was struggling in my heart. And I would tell him, you might as well be honest with the Lord, because he knows. I would tell him, I'm very upset with you. I'm very unhappy with you, and I don't understand, Father. It's the only time in my Christian walk I've ever said such things to the Lord. But he knew it was in my heart. Didn't I need to confess it? And I said, I'm very unhappy with myself, that I'm striving and struggling, and I'm not accepting of what you're showing me. Lord, I know I'm wrong, but my emotions are so involved, and I would weep tears, and I would long to see you, and it seemed like my life, which I thought I knew the path very well, it seemed like it had been tossed up in the air, and I couldn't even tell where it was going to land. So it was very unsettling for me, and I did not have peace. Then, like the Lord is so faithful to do, He showed me myself in the Word. And He gave me a very important scripture for us to be praying. And I just could not believe that He put me in this scripture. Jeremiah 6, 16 and 17. This is the Good News translation. And I love all the translations, the NIV, they're all good. But the Good News says, Jeremiah 6, 16, the Lord said to His people, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths where the best road is. Walk in it and you will have peace. Now put the NIV up there, if you can get that quickly enough. So here they're called the ancient paths, and they are in the NIV as well. This is what the Lord, is that the NIV? Okay, put the New King James. Hallelujah. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see. I like the one where it says the crossroads. In other words, you don't know which way to go. There are choices you're having to make, decisions you're having to make, and you don't know what to do. But stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. I'm going to explain that to you. Where the good way is, and walk in it, then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And the Lord said, that's you. I was resisting. I found myself in Jeremiah 6, 16, and 17. Yes, this is good. Which translation? Oh, okay. Here is what Adonai says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask about the ancient paths. Which one is the good way? Take it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not take it. We don't like that path. That's not the path we want to walk on. No, not that path, Lord. Take it and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not take it. Pastor Davies, I found a streak of rebellion and stubbornness. I wanted what I wanted. I didn't want this other path. No, really, I'm telling you, the minute I read, I had the impression to read that. I had no clue what it said. I went and read it, and oh, guys, I spent days repenting. Still, if it comes up in my heart and and I meditate on it a bit, I still say, I know you think that sometimes you just say, forgive me once, and it's all done. But when the Lord's doing a work in your heart, you may have a series of times that you humble yourself. You repent. You ask the Lord, Lord, I don't want any resistance in my willingness to obey you. And so, church, I really went through a time of humility and humbling myself and asking the Lord's forgiveness. And I did it over and over again till my heart was right. And I could tell the joy of the Lord had been restored. So maybe you can repent one time and get up and it's a finished work. But this one time did not do it. Why? Because the Lord kept showing me the resistance and that I did not want to do what he was directing me to do. And so it took a period of time. I'm not going to say months, but days, maybe even a few weeks, Dan, that the Lord and I dealt with Jeremiah 6, 16 and 17. Now, I not only went through it, but I studied it. And the Lord showed me some things in some translations. The paths are called eternal paths, ancient paths. I looked in various translations. Another one was the old paths, and another one was covenant paths. In other words, God has a covenant with his people. Inside that covenant are his eternal plans and purposes. Now, the thing about eternity, it's very difficult for us to grasp. Eternity had no beginning and it has no ending. So, back, not even in the beginning, because there was no beginning, but way back there, not in time as we measure time, God made a plan for our generation. Before the earth was created, before there was a star in the sky, before the oceans and the seas and the mountains, no creation had not been created, but in eternity past, he saw you and he saw me. And he wanted us and he made an eternal plan for us in eternity past. But there you weren't yet. Your time had not come because, see, we live in time. And then in due course, he created the heavens and the earth, all that is in them. He created our world, but he had already made thought of you and made a plan for your life. So when I ask, see, I had no depth of understanding that. He had to have me in a place of humility and repentance and genuine deep sorrow that I would ever think to resist him or get mad at him. Yes, I was in the United States, but I was mad, church. I was hurt. I was upset. And I had no clue what he was going to do with me. I didn't, but see, we're expected to walk by faith. We're expected to walk in love. But I was upset. So we had to deal with Jeremiah 6, 16, and 17 for a good while. Then, in eternity past, he already had you in his heart and in his mind. And then he created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. And then the day came. It was your turn to be born into this earth. But you're not born again. Yeah. So that's a big factor right there, is you must be born again. And when you're born again, what happens? You receive eternity into your heart. And that eternal plan, when you are born again, is now in you. But we have our own thinking, don't we? And so we spend the rest of our lives renewing our mind to the Word of God, which is the eternal Word. And so, church, I found such a key to so many things which stand in the way. And I like the translation that says the crossroads. In other words, you can go with God or you can do what you want to do, because there are many paths out there. You know, there are many paths out there. But we need to stand in the way or at the crossroads where decisions are being made. And look, what does that mean? Comprehend. This is bigger than you are. Your many things depend on your making the right choices. Look, perceive, and know that you don't want to make willful, selfish, self-centered, I want what I want decisions. So you stand in those eternal paths at the crossroad. You stand at the crossroad. And you look, you perceive, a lot depends on my making the right decision. People will be affected if I make the wrong decision. The main thing is, I want to be humble and obedient to God and not make just a decision that I want to make. But I stand at the crossroads and look. I take time to perceive the decision I'm about to make. Ask. Here's where prayer comes in. See, we're in a realignment. This is a very important scripture to pray in a time of realignment. Realignment means it's not going to be as it has been. There are decisions to be made that will bring forth change. Ask for the ancient paths. These are the eternal paths that were before the earth even was. Eternal paths means they come from eternity. Do you know how special you are that God has eternal paths for you to walk in? Wow. And we can miss the will of God if we don't walk in them. And so you ask for the ancient paths, the eternal paths. Ask where the good way is. Lord, what is the right decision that is right in your eyes, not my eyes? What is the right decision that is right in your eyes? And we wait on the Lord and we ask for His eternal plan for our lives. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. That's the path we're going to take. That's the choice we're going to make, is what God reveals that He wants us to do. See, we don't dream these things up. But there will come times in your life when you have life-altering decisions to make. Then, it says, you will find rest for your soul. You'll be at peace. It may not have been the choice you would have made in the natural. You might have thought that, oh, I had no idea. I thought I was going to do this. Oh, I thought this was the way I needed to go. But it says, you will find rest for your souls. Now, I'm very sorry to tell you, I think most people fit in the latter part of this scripture, because they don't understand the consequences of making choices that are in alignment with heaven. And I began to pray after that so much, Lord, I pray to be aligned with heaven. As long as I walk on earth every day, may I be aligned with the will of heaven. And I would really supplicate for that. But you said, we will not walk in it. I was walking in it fleshly, but my heart was fretting and not walking in it in faith. So as far as the Lord counted it, I wasn't being willing, and I could not be obedient just in my flesh. Do you know, to be obedient, Isaiah 1:19 says you have to be willing and obedient. So I was doing what he said, but I was not willing, and it was not counted as obedience. To be obedient, we must be willing and obedient. Because if you're not willing, your attitude's wrong. You don't have an attitude of submission. You're not walking in love toward the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? This scripture was life-altering for me. And, church, it circumcised my heart in that decision that I had to make to be obedient to the Lord. They said, no, we will not. Then the Lord appointed sentries to listen for the trumpet's warning. In other words, there were going to be trumpets that would sound a warning to them. But they said, we will not listen. We will not listen to those trumpets. We will not listen to your voice. Lord, you're wrong in this instance. See, that's what you're saying. Lord, this time you're mistaken. And we know that's not possible. So this Jeremiah 6:16, in this time of war, in this time of realignment, repositioning, preparing us for new things. I'll tell you one of the things, I'm going to minister this in church, but one of the things I was praying about coming into 2024, and Brother Copeland said there will be more and more and more. And I listened to various prophets. Dr. Savelle said we will be advancing and progressing, and your highest dreams and expectations will be fulfilled. And I was just agreeing and shouting hallelujah for both of them. But I did ask the Lord, Father, if there's anything that you want to say to me, I'm willing. I set myself to hear you. It didn't happen in one day. It didn't happen in a week. But a number of days later, some of you old timers will remember the day I walked up to the pulpit years ago, and I told you I'd never experienced this. It was like a ball in my belly started rising when I got up out of my seat, and I came forward to the pulpit, and I opened my mouth, and out of my mouth came, Kenya will be a hub in Africa. How many of you remember that? A number of you were in the congregation. Well, has that happened? I mean, has Kenya changed dramatically? I'm looking at your high-rise highway out here on Uhuru Highway. You know, it's the first time I've seen it, and it is just amazing. So many changes even since I've been gone. Same thing happened. It was a ball, and I felt something rising and rising and rising, and it stopped right here, and I looked down. I could feel it physically. I could feel it physically, and it was the word double. The Lord has decreed for us double. In fact, the correct way to say it is double, double. You say it twice, but I'm going to minister to you what that means. And I can tell you, it's already being released. It's already being released. Hallelujah. And so, we are coming into a season. I want to say this and then move along to one other thing I want to say before we pray. We are coming into a season where the Lord is going to distinguish his people. His covenant is not affected because there is great warfare in the earth. His covenant never changes. Church, do you know the Lord says, I'm going to tell you a basis for this. The Lord caused me and Pastor Wade, although we weren't married at that time, I didn't know him, to love Israel from the time I came into the body of Christ. And I was interested in studying about Israel and the feasts. Really, you can't understand the Bible if you don't understand Israel, because we've been grafted in where Israel is concerned. On that basis alone, Pastor Davies, do we sow thousands of dollars every year into Israel? We sow directly to Israel and ministries that live in Israel and have works in Israel, this ministry and this church every year. We bless Israel. And do you know the promise of God? Whoever blesses you, Israel, I will bless. It's the Abrahamic covenant, and we've been grafted in. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. You want to bring a curse on you? Come against Israel. No, we don't want that curse, do we? No. We are divinely positioned for God to bless us and see us through war, whatever is coming. You stay on these ancient paths. You walk in the good way. You do it with thanksgiving. You do it with joy. You keep sowing to Israel. You keep blessing Israel. Church, you're blessed. Wherever you go, you're carrying the blessing of God. Can you say amen? Amen. And let me take a step sideways a bit. How do we know without a doubt this is a decade of war? How do we know that? Pastor Carla, how can you say that? How do you know? Luke 21:29 says, look at the fig tree. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. Who is the fig tree? Israel is the fig tree. What happened on October 7th? The worst, most hideous attack on Israel that you can imagine. I've heard quite some details about what the attackers did to Israel. Pastor Davies, what month did you go to Israel? In March, Pastor Davies was blessed to go to Israel. Actually, Israel took him to Israel. Yeah, because we're known for loving Israel. This church and ministry, we are known for loving and supporting Israel. They paid every penny. They took him over there like he was somebody important. I mean, it was a diplomatic trip. He was treated like a diplomat, which he is for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And so, Pastor Davies, and I would talk about the trip after he got back and everything, and they took him to places where the attack took place and told him the stories. Did you see any video? They saw videos of the attack. And so this is not hearsay. This is not a made-up story. But was it a blessing for Israel to come and get him and take him over there? What a blessing. Church, I want to comfort you. We're in a decade of war, but there's a way to be okay, and that's to stay in those covenant paths, in the ancient paths, in the Word of God, in the will of God. If God realigns you, say yes and amen. Don't struggle with it like I did and have to go through really a period where he chastised me. I never heard him say this, but this is what it amounted to. Do you love them more than you love me? Or are you going to listen to me and do what I want you to do? And so, you know, we have decisions to make. Look at the fig tree. Israel is at war, so we know we're at war. We're at war. Don't have the attitude that it's 1 year follows the next year and nothing much changes, nothing much happens. No, no, momentous things are happening in our generation. Momentous things are happening. Look at Israel. And I know we've all grieved with their suffering, but here's what's going to be happening with us. Everything I'm telling you needs prayer. Everything I'm telling you needs to be prayed out and provide light for your pathway. See, the Word is light. Jesus is the light of the world. So when we take that Word and we begin to pray it out, that is light for our pathway. So we're not in the dark. The world that we don't know what's going on, the world is in the dark. We're not in the dark, church. And so what's going to be happening with those who walk in the light? Well, I believe it is the plan of God to pour out His Spirit even double. Double what we've known. I thank God for everything I've known, every blessing, every grace He's granted me. I'm so thankful. But double, wow, that's going to be impactful. In fact, everyone say, double. Yeah, the Lord said that. Just say, double. Double doesn't quite capture it. Double doesn't quite say it, but double, let's say that, double is more impactful. Joel 2:28, these are some of the things that we need to pray these scriptures. We need to intercede over these scriptures. We need to supplicate on these scriptures. Supplicate one of the definitions of it is, it's like you can't even bear to live if the Lord doesn't answer you your prayer. You desire it so deeply. You desire it so fervently and passionately that you cannot stand it if it doesn't happen. Supplication is so powerful. Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Church, that's us. Hallelujah. That's us. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. We need to pray out of the book of Joel very much. And then another scripture, Ephesians 5:18. You know this one. Church, this is how God makes war. He said that when I was reading Ephesians 5:18. He said, this is how I make war. I thought, wow. And what does it say? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot make war and face your adversaries and obtain victory over your adversaries without being filled with the Holy Spirit. This needs to be an urgent supplication for all of us. In fact, almost every day, Lord, give, maybe not when I was on the airplane, but I may have even done it. I was 48 hours flying here. I did not know day from night, so I don't know. But Lord, please, I'm asking that you would fill me with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the spirit of knowledge and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Fill me with your spirit, oh God. And you can just supplicate there for being filled with the Spirit in measures we have not known. There is a great war to be won. There is so much lying and deceiving in our generation that we're watching all the young people not know if they're a man or a woman. So much deception, so many lies. We need to be filled with the Spirit to deal with these issues in our generation and have victory over the enemy. The regular level of being filled with the Holy Spirit that you're accustomed to walking in is not enough for these levels of victory over the enemy. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need great strength. We need abilities beyond the abilities we've known. Hallelujah. So we're not going to be moved that we're in a decade of warfare, turmoil, upheaval, and previously unknown wickedness, at least unknown to the degree wickedness is displaying itself. Because there is a mighty harvest to be reaped. There are souls to be won. No matter what the devil does, there's a generation to be brought to the feet of God. There are revivals to be poured out. Great outpourings of the Holy Spirit in one nation after another nation. Hallelujah. There is such a great end time work of God that we must have mighty infillings of the Holy Spirit. And we ask for that in the name of Jesus. So let me just finish. I'm giving you things to pray for, like prayer assignments. Number one, humble yourself and tell the Lord, I'm willing to welcome new things that you desire to release in my life. I'm willing to welcome new things that you desire to release in my life. Let's make up our minds. We're not going to be old wineskins. No old wineskins. Hapana. No old wineskins. So we need to pray. Lord, I want to be a new wineskin. I want a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Do a new thing in my life. Do a new thing in Victory Faith Church. Hallelujah. Matthew 9:17 says, nor do they put new wine into old wineskins. See, the Lord has some new wine as I've made this realignment. There's new wine when you're obedient to God. There's a broadening of the assignment that is on your life. But if you're just going to stay an old wineskin, then you can't have the new things that God has prepared for you. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins will break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined, but they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Church, I'm going to tell you, it takes effort to have a new wineskin. First, that wineskin has to be cleaned. That's what I went through with Jeremiah 6:16 and 17. First is cleansing. Let me write down. I wrote some things down. Times of humility. Lord, I humble myself before you. And you just minister your heart before the Lord, that he is the desire of your heart. And there is nothing on this earth that comes close to the desire that you have for him. Set the Lord before you in the time of repentance and humility. So we humble ourselves. We repent. You think, well, I can't think of a single thing I need to repent of. Well, I was a bit surprised at all the repenting I did. It kind of surprised me, but I needed to do it. Yeah, I needed to do it. Humility, humble yourself, repent, confess. There will be things that come up in your heart that you need to make confession of before the Lord. You know, it might be, Lord, I've not been treating my husband with the honor that I need to treat him with. Forgive me, Lord. I know that's causing issues. Or it could be I've not been honoring and loving and caring for my wife like I need to, and it's causing problems. I can tell she's not happy with me. And so it could be any number of things, but you make confession. Hallelujah. You submit yourself, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due season you will be lifted up. Let a change of mind and heart happen. Let a change of mind and heart happen. God wants to make us a new wineskin. So number one, we've got to be cleaned. They scrape that old wineskin. They scrape it on the outside. They really scrape it on the inside. What is that? Cleansing. Then they boil it. I tell you. Then, number two, that wineskin has to be soaked. S-O-A-K-E-D. Soaked. To make it soft and pliable. So we soak in the Word, we soak in the Spirit, we soak in the presence of God, we soak in praise and in worship and thanksgiving. And you become pliable, you become soft, and you stop resisting the Lord. I'm going to tell you, we can be resisting the Lord and we don't even recognize it. All of us need to let him show us if there's any way I've not been yielded. Instead, I've been excusing myself and resisting you. Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Willingness. Willingness. Willingness means you've submitted your will to the Lord's will. And the two of you are in agreement, you're going to do the will of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, you know, I'm just going to say a prayer. Lord, renew me. May I have a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit and realign me with your heavenly will. That's elements like that. It's the basis of the prayer I pray frequently, to be willing, to be obedient, and to be aligned with heaven. Number two, edify yourself. After your humility and submission and realignment, edify yourself. How do we edify ourselves? Through the Word. Acts 20, I'm almost through. Acts 20 and verse 32 in the New King James says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So I edify myself through the word. Church, if you're not in the word, that just has to change. It has to change. But Pastor, I don't have time. Well, okay, maybe not in your current schedule. You don't have time, so you make a new schedule. See, you've been getting up at 6:30, but now you're going to get up at 5. Make yourself a cup of tea. Get your Bible and start reading and praying and humbling yourself before God and fellowshipping with him. Number two, how do you edify yourself? Through the Spirit. Jude 20 in the Amplified Classic says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. So every day we build ourselves up praying in the Spirit, praying with our known language. You know what happened to me after I went through that time of the Lord dealing with me, showing me I wasn't aligned with the heavenly will, that my will was wanting to override his will? You know what the Lord did? He started giving me poems. I would pray, I would be praying, and suddenly, and I could tell a change. There would be a change on the inside of me, and suddenly, out of my mouth would come a lovely poem to the Lord. It was like a gift that blessed me. I hope it blesses him. And of just yielding, getting my will aligned with his will. I'm telling you, when you edify yourself in the word, you're humble, you're submissive, you edify yourself in the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit will begin to be released. I realized one alert that we can recognize. If you can't tell the gifts of the Spirit are flowing, check your life. Are you in heavenly alignment? Or have you allowed some things in your life that don't please God? You may have an attitude that he wants to deal with, and so on. Church, let me stop there. Do you recognize some things you need to pray for? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so let's stand up. And Pastor Davies, I'm going to ask you to come up. I'm going to begin praying, and then I'll hand the, let me give that to you. I'll hand the microphone to you, but let's lift our hearts and our hands in thanksgiving to the Lord. And Father, we want to thank you and praise you that you are the Father of light and that you do not leave your people in darkness. You've promised if we will seek you, we will find you. And I'm so grateful, Father, that your Holy Spirit is willing to work with each one of us to bring us into place of divine alignment with heaven. And we ask for that right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I just want to say in the hearing of these people, a prayer you've heard me pray pretty often, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm asking you, work with us, dear Father, through your word and through your spirit, that each one of us might have the testimony that the Lord took us through a period where he dealt with the desires of our hearts, that we might be divinely aligned with heaven. Father, many of us are standing at the crossroads before the ancient paths. And you said, Father, that the ancient paths are the good way and that we're to walk, ask for the ancient paths, and then walk in them. I pray that for everyone within the sound of my voice, that we would be divinely aligned and walk in the ancient paths. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe our hopes, our dreams of fulfilling your destiny for our lives depend upon our decisions at this moment in time, that we would not walk as mere men, but we would walk as children of the Most High God. We would walk with you. We would talk with you. We would move with you. We would live in obedience to you, walking the ancient paths that you prepared for us from eternity. Father, we ask for the ancient paths. We ask for the covenant paths. We ask for the good way, the eternal paths that you have prepared for us. On those paths lie every grace, every blessing, every gift. Our call is on those paths. Oh, Father, this night we ask you for the ancient paths. Father, may each one of us be of a willing heart and a willing spirit. We ask for you to deal with our hearts, O God. It's not easy on the flesh. Nevertheless, we ask for it. We desire it. We desire you, O God. We desire your heavenly will. We desire your eternal purposes for us. And Father, we open our hearts to anything you have to say to us, any correction you have to bring to us, any insight or wisdom or revelation that you desire to release to us. Oh, Father, we ask for it in the name of Jesus.
Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost for some time, please. We've received the word. Shabrom breste keste keshtara da bakosede. Ayandamaste keste keshada. Glory to God. Father, thank you for your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. For us to know, for us to recognize those paths, you have given us your word to discern the times, to discern the seasons we are in. Father, even concerning what you've heard tonight, we are asking you, like sons of Issachar, help us to discern the seasons. Help us to perceive your will in the dark world. For you have said, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But Lord, you have promises to arise, your light to be so real to us. So we receive your word. Enable us, Father, to perceive your will. Enable us, Father, to discern the times. We covet spiritual gifts, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit working in us as believers, to know the times, to perceive the times, to walk in the higher paths of your will in our generation. Father, we thank you. We lift up even our nation. We don't want our nation to be left out. Father, we are your people, and we humble ourselves, even as you've heard this evening. We humble ourselves to receive your word for this nation and to speak your word into this nation, to release words of faith and to release this nation into the eternal paths that you set before the foundation of the world. Father, we pray for the president. We pray for his deputy. We pray for the first lady and the second lady. We pray, Father, for the outpouring of your Spirit that removes barriers, that removes strife, and brings divine alignment and union in your will and in your purposes. We bind strife. We bind that which has been trying to come into our nation to cause division. We bind the spirit of strife. We cast it out. We release God's will. We release God's will, which is unity in our nation, Father. Father, we thank you and we praise you, praying even this night for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, as we've entered into Shavuot, and even as we've read that Joel 2:28, it's also for your people, Father, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that the blindness that has been there to be removed, and that even during this time of Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, may be the outpouring of your Spirit upon your people, Father, upon the children, upon the youths, upon men and women in Israel. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit among the Jewish people all over the world to perceive you, their God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Thank you for this word. We receive it. We receive it. Can we say it? We receive it. We receive it with humility. We receive it, Father, to realign our lives with your will and with your purposes. In Jesus' name. Can we give him another shout of praise? I don't know if you've done another. Hallelujah. Is it another? Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Carla. You know what I thought, what you're saying about the decade of warfare? One thing that kept coming up in my heart about also the prayer of inquiry. You know, remember David inquired of the Lord, do I pursue them? Supplication, exactly. Yeah, inquiring of the Lord, because you want His will so much, until you have to inquire. We don't see the enemy, but we can pray to the Lord to grant us discernment, to see, to perceive, and to walk in His will. So I could think of several scriptures there from the book of Samuel, especially 2 Samuel, and many others. He prayed that prayer of inquiry, and just let's believe God. Amen. Next Wednesday, same time. You are watching us, same time, but here, okay? But right here. And my goodness, would you appreciate Pastor Carlo? Thank you, Pastor Carlo, for really taking your time. You could have been at home and in the house, and you know, but it's taking your time. It takes, let me tell you something about a minister of the gospel. It takes strength to prepare. It takes strength. It takes time. It takes perceiving the will of God, and we just don't show up. It just takes preparation. So thank you, Pastor Carla, for preparing really to come and minister to us. Hallelujah.